Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now I can preach it like this, okay? Repent! Or I can tell you, change your mind. Preaching repentance in the area of consciousness of sins is dishonoring the work of Jesus.
Repentance means you realize you're guilty, that you deserve the wrath and punishment of God. You begin to realize that sin is in you, and you turn your back on it in every shape and form. You renounce the world, whatever the cost, and you deny yourself and take up the cross and go after Christ.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Sir, tell me your first name.
Oscar.
Oscar, what's your first name, sir?
Richard.
Guys, what we're talking to people about is the afterlife. Where do you think you're going when you die, Oscar?
Well, I'm happy to say and comforted to know that I don't know. I have no clue whatsoever. And, yeah, I embrace that.
You're happy about that?
It's a great relief to not know.
All right, sir.
Yes, I hope I go to a better place.
What, heaven, maybe?
If that's... Yes, heaven.
Do you guys think you have an immortal soul, something that lives on long after you die?
I would hope so, but that just might be my ego. I don't know.
Sir?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I do.
Okay, guys, I'm going to introduce you to a little test to see where you're going, maybe when you die. Is that okay? A little question about the Ten Commandments. Would you consider yourself to be a good person, Oscar?
Possibly.
Sir?
Yes, I do.
Have you ever told a lie?
A lot of lies. Layers upon layers of lies.
Tons of lies. You, sir?
Definitely.
Okay. Ever stolen anything?
Absolutely.
Sir?
Yes, I have.
All right. Ever looked at anybody and lusted after him, her, had sexual thoughts?
Well, you're looking pretty good.
Alrighty. Asked and answered.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. All right. I want to tell you what Jesus said. Jesus said that if you just look at somebody and lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. Have you ever called anybody an idiot or a moron?
Almost on a daily basis.
Huh. So, tons of... Okay, sir.
Quite a few times.
Okay, Jesus said that if you do that, you've committed murder in your heart, because God examines the intentions of the heart, the thought life, our attitudes. All right, I just took you through 4 commandments. The Bible teaches that when you die, it's appointed unto man once to die. You die once, and then the judgment, where God judges you for every secret sin, every thought, every word, every deed, every action. And the standard of perfection is the 10 commandments. Now, I just took you through 4, maybe 5 of those commandments. When God judges you, do you think you'll be found innocent or guilty?
I don't think God would judge in black and white.
Why not?
Because God doesn't need to do that to you. Far more complex, more so than we can even get our brains around. And I think he is ultimately forgiving.
All right, sir. Innocent or guilty?
Innocent.
Why?
Because I'm a better person today. I don't do the things I did yesterday, and I'm going to be a better person tomorrow.
All right, I want to try that thinking in a court of law. You get hauled in. You've broken 10 laws. And the judge says, you're guilty, and I have to sentence you. Do you have anything to say for yourself? And if you said, well, I'm a better person today than I was yesterday, and I'm going to try harder tomorrow, he'd say, well, good, you should, but you still have to pay for the crimes that you committed, right?
Okay, in that case, I guess I'd be guilty.
All right, so guilty. I want to share a Bible verse with you, Oscar. God says that he's the just judge of all the world, and he's going to judge all people according to what they have done. He's going to give life and immortality to those who persist in doing good, but he's going to pour out his anger and his wrath on everybody who refuses to repent, who practices evil deeds, and who lives for themselves. There's going to be trouble and calamity on that day. It's real black and white. If you're guilty before God, guys, heaven or hell?
I just can't buy the heaven or hell.
I know, because it's an unpleasant thought, isn't it?
Well, it's not that it's unpleasant. Again, I think God is the ultimate in forgiveness. And I don't think particularly God has anger. I think we as humans have the anger, and that's the anger.
I just quoted that Bible verse. It said God's going to pour out his anger and his wrath. God does have anger, and he has wrath, and he's going to pour it out on those people who persist in sinning, who refuse to repent. So if you're guilty before God, isn't it reasonable, isn't it right that he sends people to hell for breaking his laws?
I think that the people who continue to sin and don't strive for perfection or enlightenment are damning themselves, and God doesn't even need to do a thing.
Okay, but you just said before that you're doing lots of lies, lots of calling people, happened in the past. Okay, but even so, if you get taken into a courtroom, even if you stop doing something for 5, you know, they find a war criminal, they're still going to make him satisfy justice, correct?
If I take one step towards God, he takes 20 steps towards me.
How do you know that?
I can feel it, and I can see it, and I can sense it, and I use all of my mortal senses and my inner senses to know that that's true, and I see it on a daily basis.
Have you ever been wrong about anything before?
Absolutely.
Okay, the Bible says that the heart is deceptively wicked, and you can't rely on it because you can have feelings and it can seem right. In fact, the Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. So you can't operate on feelings. You have to operate on what the Bible says. And the Bible said that God, the just judge, is going to pour out his anger and his wrath on those who refuse to repent and practice evil deeds. All right, what do you know about hell? What do you remember? Do you ever learn about hell in Sunday school? Anything?
Well, you know, it's not a very nice place. It's hell. It's warm. It's the temperature.
Hot.
The temperature is a little up, and the heat is on.
That's exactly right. Is that you agree with that?
Yes, I agree with that.
All right, fellas, do you have any idea what God has done so that you don't have to go to a place called hell? Do you have any idea?
No, but I got a feeling you're going to tell me.
Well, I've got an answer, but I want to see if you know. Do you have any idea what God does? Do you know what God has done so that you don't have to be sentenced to hell?
Well, it's the light. You can choose to go with the light, or you can choose to go with the dark. You go with the light, and you can bypass hell.
You know, let's just make sure what your understanding of that is, because you're right. Because the Bible teaches that Jesus is the light of the world, and he shines into darkness, but sometimes the darkness doesn't want the light because they like their sins. They like living in darkness. And anytime you turn a light bulb, you know, a light bulb on, it brings light. And if you're doing something wrong, you can get busted. And sometimes people who are living in darkness, they don't want the light. So Jesus Christ is the light. And he came to this earth 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, God himself came to this earth and he died on a cross. He was beaten and he was whipped. His blood was shed because the Bible teaches there's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. So, very simple. You broke the law. You broke God's laws and Jesus Christ paid the fine. Very simple. God himself satisfied his own judgment against you. So that instead of being found guilty on the day of judgment, he can say, your fine has been paid. Jesus paid your fine. Come on in and you can inherit eternal life. Now, here's the big question for you. If Jesus Christ paid your fine, paid the debt for your sins, how do you get that forgiveness? Do you have any idea how you can get that gift that God offers you? Do you know?
No.
Any idea, Oscar?
Follow the light. And Jesus was one great manifestation of God, just as you are and he is and all of these people. It's just that we have to wake up to this light.
Okay.
Jesus did.
Well, Jesus was more than a manifestation. He's God himself, all right? And he doesn't say that we're little gods. He said we're fallen, sinful human beings. But he'll give you a new life. He'll give you a new heart with new desires if you repent and put your trust in him. What it means to repent is you don't just say you're sorry. You stop and you go, whoa, I've really sinned against God. I've broken his laws. You ask for forgiveness. He died to give it to you. And then you forsake your sins. You stop living for yourself. You stop living to do your own thing. You start living for him. And then you put your trust in Jesus Christ. Not just a prophet, but God himself. You put your trust in Jesus Christ, just like you'd put your trust in a parachute. You know, if you were crashing in a plane and you had a parachute, you wouldn't just believe the parachute could save you. You'd put it on. And the same thing is true with Jesus Christ. You have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. So you repent, and you trust, and God says, I'll give you a new heart with new desires, and you'll move from darkness to light and from death to life. So you got to repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Oscar?
Christ is, in my opinion, is still a man, an extremely enlightened man, but a man nonetheless, a mortal, and that's probably where we'll end it for now.
Do you think that he was a good teacher?
I think he was a great teacher.
Okay. Would a great teacher lie?
Perhaps. I'm sure that he had some defects as well, just like anybody else.
Let me tell you what a horrible lie would be. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Nobody comes unto the Father but by me. Now, a good teacher wouldn't tell that kind of a whopper. Jesus Christ is either a liar, he's nuts, or he really is the God of the universe, and you should get on your knees and repent.
In a general sense, I would say that the Bible is one of the great books of all time, but the mistake that a lot of folks make now is to take it literally. And when he's saying that he is God, let's not take it literally, and at the same time, let's take it literally.
But why would it, I mean, if he said he's God, why wouldn't you believe him?
I can say that I'm God, and, you know, and in many ways I am, but I am not.
Okay, but you can't die and rise from the dead, and that's what Jesus did on Easter. He rose from the dead. Now, hold on, I want to share something good with you, okay, Oscar? You said in the very beginning, you said, you know, I find great deal of comfort in not knowing where I'm going. All right, I just gave you good news. The story I just told you isn't a bad deal. He wants to save you. Why wouldn't you want that gift?
He rose from the dead, again, is not to be taken literally, that he didn't fly out of a cave. It's to be taken literally. Yes, his spirit rose out of the cave, and it's alive today. You're talking about it.
But people saw him, and they touched him. Remember, Thomas touched him, and he touched his side, and he touched his hands. He was a real being.
And he didn't really walk on water, probably.
Okay. There. Okay. All right.
That's it. We're going to keep moving.
Goodbye. Thank you. Think about it, dude. Goodbye. One guy, the quieter fellow, I believe his name was Richard, was staring at me like he was in a panic. Oscar, on the other hand, should get into sales.
We'll keep going on a Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
So, you don't think that your sponsorship of a Tomorrow Club is worth it, huh?
One of the kids that came, you know, her parents were both alcoholics. The leader said, why don't you invite your mother to come? She started coming, and she'd hear little pieces of the gospel, and she started drinking a little bit less and started coming to the church, and the church started trying to help them. And believe it or not, even the father stopped drinking, and the whole family has come to the Lord. Now this family operates the Tomorrow Club.
These stories are happening all over Eastern Europe. Poor villages, the Tomorrow Clubs invade. They meet with the kids every week. They disciple them. They preach the gospel to them. They have them memorize Bible verses. The kids get saved. The parents get saved. And the local church gets strengthened. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? $30 a month. 30 little disciples. You can do that at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
So, what do you call a fish with no eyes?
I don't know. What?
A fsh. Get it? A fsh. Because there are no eyes?
Oh.
Our newest evangelistic booklet is titled, Are You a Rotten Fish? While there aren't any amazing jokes like that in it, it does provide a thorough presentation on true and false conversions. Jesus preached on the subject of true and false conversions with the parables about wheat and tares, wise and foolish virgins, good fish, and rotten fish. Are You a Rotten Fish compares and contrasts the true gospel versus false gospels, the correct gospel response of repentance and faith versus incorrect responses like asking Jesus into your heart. All you have to do is hop on your computer or your phone and visit wretched.org/fish and order your copies. That's fish with an I. So who do you know who might be a rotten fish? Order your copies at wretched.org/fish today. wretched.org/fish.
Please, would you please consider sending as many Bibles as you can through Bible League International to the persecuted church?
Aria was raised in a strict Muslim family. A woman invited her to a Bible study. She accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. She took her Arabic New Testament home. She hid it. Her mother was rummaging through the house, found this, gave it to her father. He called the authorities to report her as an infidel. They tortured her, did the same thing to the Christian friend. These two women have been instrumental through their suffering to lead about 50 people to Christ.
And they would love a Bible. Would you please consider sending as many as you are able to through Bible League International? $5 for a Bible to a persecuted Christian. Perhaps 6 per month? Wretched.org/Bible. Wretched.org/Bible.
Know your reformers. John Calvin was a French pastor, an author of the Institutes of the Christian Religion. His writings and ministry made Geneva, Switzerland a hotbed of Reformed theology. His institutes are still guiding documents for Reformed churches across the globe.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Sitting here on the curb talking to Victor. Victor, tell me where you're from.
I am from Playa del Rey.
I have no idea where that is.
That's about 5 miles from here.
And what does that mean, Playa del Rey? Something by the sea?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Victor, here's what we're talking to people about today. We're talking to people about afterlife, where they go when they die, or where they think they're going to go when they die. Where do you think you're going to go when you die?
I would think either, hopefully, heaven.
And why do you think you're going there?
I would say my beliefs in God and I guess my spiritual beliefs.
Who's God to you?
And God is the creator of heaven and earth and the Almighty.
Do you just go by the name God, or does he have another name?
I go by God.
Just by God. Okay. Christian?
Christian. Catholic.
Christian, Catholic? Okay. So how do you think somebody gets to heaven?
I would say by pretty much following the Ten Commandments.
Do you think you've kept the Ten Commandments?
I would say that I've done a pretty good job at that.
Have you ever told a lie?
Yes, I have told a lie.
Have you ever stolen anything?
I would say that I've never stolen anything.
Anything insignificant, like a paperclip, a pencil, money from your parents, an apple off a tree?
Maybe an apple off a tree at one point.
Okay, so you've stolen something.
Yeah, I would. Okay.
Just lied. Yeah, I should have known. You told me you're a liar. What's the matter with me? I'm so gullible. All right, so have you ever looked at a woman and lusted after her?
Yeah, I have.
All right. Well, Jesus said that if you do that, you've committed adultery in your heart. So you've broken the seventh commandment. What about calling somebody an idiot or a moron?
You know what? I think I might be going to hell after this conversation.
Yeah, well, that's kind of where I'm trying to take you, actually. You saw right through me, Victor. No, we're not. All right, let me take it.
Sunday, it's peaceful out here, and it's.
Speaking of that, have you given God 1 day in 7 all your life?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Here's what I just did. I just took you through some of the commandments. The Bible says that it is appointed unto man once to die. You're going to die once, and then the judgment. So if God judges you based on the perfect standard of the Ten Commandments, do you think you'll be innocent or guilty before God?
I would say, based solely on that, I would be guilty.
Thanks for your honesty. You're right. Most people resist, but you're right. You'll be guilty before God. So do you think you're going to go to heaven or hell?
I would still say heaven.
How come?
That, I think that God forgives also.
Does God forgive everybody?
Yeah, he does.
Okay, let's go to an earthly court for a second. Let's say you stood before a judge who found you guilty of breaking 10 laws. And you said, Judge, I know I'm guilty, but I want you to forgive me. Is he going to say, oh, sure, why not? Go ahead and leave. You're free to go because you've asked for forgiveness. Is he going to let you do that?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think based on the way you're asking for forgiveness and what you're going to do to better your life or to change your ways.
All right, let's take you back into the court. Judge, I'm really sorry, and I'm going to try harder, and I'm going to do better from now on. Is he going to let you go?
I don't know. You know, maybe not. It really depends. It depends on that individual.
Okay, let's say that, in most instances, especially 10 laws, you've broken a lot of laws. He's going to say, well, you should be sorry and you should try harder, but I still have to sentence you because justice must be served, right? Because justice has to be satisfied because of the law that has been broken. And the same thing is true with God. His law has to be satisfied. His judgment has to be satisfied. So if you're guilty before God, somehow that fine needs to be paid for. So if you're guilty before God, you got to pay for the fine. And that fine is a place called hell. Huh? Does that seem fair enough?
No. Yeah.
Not pleasant, but does it sound right?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
All right. Now, do you have any idea what God did so you don't have to go to hell when he judges you? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, I have some idea. I would say that he died for our sins.
That's exactly right. You're exactly right. 2,000 years ago, God himself came to this earth, named Jesus Christ, and he died on the cross, was brutally beaten, shed his blood, because the Bible says there can be no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. So Jesus Christ shed his own blood, died for you. You broke the law. Jesus paid your fine. Very simple. You're a lawbreaker. Jesus paid the fine for you. But here's the big question, Victor. How do you get that forgiveness? Do you know how to access the forgiveness that Jesus Christ offers you? Do you know how to get that?
Not really.
I'll tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that God commands all men everywhere to repent. So that's part of it is saying you're sorry. Part of it is asking for forgiveness. But you need to recognize that you've broken God's laws, apologize to him, and then turn the other way. Forsake your sins. Instead of living for yourself, start living for him. And then there's another component. You put your trust in him. You put your trust in him just like you'd put your trust in a parachute. If you were flying in a plane that was going to crash and you had a parachute, you wouldn't just sit there and believe in it. You'd put it on, wouldn't you? The same thing is true with Jesus Christ. He says you got to put on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. So God offers you forgiveness. It's sitting right there. Because right now, if you haven't done that, you're an enemy of God in your mind through wicked works, the Bible says, and his wrath abides upon you. Because he's just and he's holy and he's perfect and he can't have lawbreakers in heaven. But he wants to forgive you. He's provided this plan. And if you'll repent, put your trust in Jesus Christ, he'll give you a new heart with new desires. And you'll move from darkness to light, from death to life. And when you stand before him on judgment day, he's going to say, not guilty. Come in. Your fine's been paid. Welcome to my paradise. Does that make sense?
That makes sense to me.
Cool. Now you got a decision to make, don't you?
Yeah, I think so.
I hope you'll think about it. Just think about all the times you've broken God's law. Think about the amazing thing that he did for you. I mean, he should just send us all to hell just as we sit here. But instead, he chose to die for us instead. Amazing offer, amazing kindness. And now he says, I want you to have that, but you got to humble yourself. Get on your knees before God. Pour out your heart to God. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. Man, you'll become a new creature. That's what the Bible says. So radical. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Pretty amazing stuff. I hope you'll think about it.
I will. Thanks.
Thanks for talking to me. I hope your girlfriend comes back soon.
I sure hope so, too.
All right, then nobody else like me can hassle you, okay? Thank you very much for talking to me. You're kind. Thank you very much. That was Victor. Very nice fellow. Sir, do you have a moment you could talk to me on the radio? Just for a moment? I'd like to know what you believe about the afterlife. Do you have any beliefs about the afterlife?
Absolutely.
What do you believe?
I believe that there is an afterlife.
What do you think it is?
Well, energy cannot be created or destroyed, and so this energy that we have here, according to equivalency theory, must go somewhere else. And
where do you think you're going when you die?
Well, wherever I'm going, I don't know where it is, but I believe that we all go together. For example, if we were to blow this planet up, we would all go to quote-unquote hell together. But I believe that, as is said in the Bible, not one jota, not one iota, not one dot will be lost. However long it takes us to get there, we're all going to go to the same place.
So what do you think about, do you believe in the Bible? You quoted the Bible. Is that your textbook for this?
No, not really, but I do believe in Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, prophets, if you will.
Do you think they're all the same?
I don't know about that, but I do believe that they all carry the same message.
What do you think that message is?
Love.
Love. All right, I want to try a message that Jesus said and see what you think of this. Jesus said that it's that everybody's going to be judged someday, that he's going to judge all people according to what they have done. Does that sound very loving to you?
No, it doesn't, and I don't necessarily believe that.
How come?
Because I have a God of my understanding and my choice today, and I was raised as a Catholic, and I had the vengeful God that was holding the sword and the scale in one hand, but I don't have that God today. I have a God that is forgiving and a God that is loving. And if my God can forgive me, I can forgive myself.
All right, now let me ask you a question. That sounds to me, Nick, like you've made up a God to suit yourself. Is that fair? Okay, how can you do that?
How can I not do that?
But how can you create, is he superior to you?
Absolutely.
So the clay made the potter.
A God of my understanding is not a God. In other words, a God, if I can understand my God, he's not God. He's greater than me.
I'm sorry. I just didn't understand that. Please forgive me. So you've made up a God.
You're giving me a God. No. You're giving me a God that was made up, that is vengeful, with a sword, with a long beard, that kind of a God. That isn't. If I can understand and visualize my God, he's not a God.
Ah. Oh. Okay. So the God of the Bible that you can understand must not exist.
Well, I didn't say that. I'm saying that for me, I have a God of my understanding and a God of my choice.
Oh, okay. Well, all right, let's just stick with the Bible for a second. The one that you grew up with.
Stick with the Bible. I don't need to stick with the Bible. The Bible is a book, and it's something that I have read, and it has a lot of wonderful things in it. You understand? But the Bible isn't the end-all and the be-all.
Well, it says it is. It says that it's inspired by God.
Let me ask you something. Do you believe in the Bible?
Yes, sir, I do.
Wonderful. So you believe that there's going to be a final judgment, a gnashing of teeth, a separation of souls?
Yes, sir, I do.
I can't talk to you anymore. You have a wonderful day. I feel very sorry for you.
Thanks very much for talking to me. I'm not sure what just happened there. One of two things. Well, one of three things. I brought up a painful memory from his childhood. That's possible. Second thing might be that he is living with some sort of burden of guilt, and he knows that if he stands before God, he's in big trouble, and he's just denying it. The third thing should be that he just cannot stand the intolerance of Christianity. That's all I can come up with.
It's a Witness Wednesday, and this is Wretched Radio.
Important dates in Christian history. 1727. A spiritual awakening at Herrnhut, Germany, launches the Moravian Brethren as the forerunner of modern Protestant missionary movements. This 300-member group sent missionaries to Asia, Africa, North and South America, and the Arctic. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here are the two questions that we're asking people today. Simply this. Where do you think you're going when you die?
I'm going in a box under the ground.
Where do you think your soul's going when you die?
It's going to float around and haunt my friend Shayna.
You must be Shayna. Where do you think you're going when you die?
I think we're coming back here.
Okay, and my second question is, why do you believe that?
Because I was caught off guard with the question and answered it this way.
Okay, hold on. I'll give you a second then to recoup. Why do you think we're coming back here?
Just kind of feel like we've been around this before, been through life once before.
So it sounds like reincarnation.
Exactly.
Cool. And may I ask, where do you get that information? Is it from feeling or from a book?
More from feeling.
Okay. Are you ready to go now? Good to go?
No.
Where do you think you're going when you die?
I'm going to go to some... I don't want to answer.
Okay. You did. Thank you very much. Thanks for talking to me. I appreciate it. Here's the two questions. They are, where do you think you're going when you die?
Hope in heaven.
You're hoping heaven.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And the second question is, why do you think that?
Sure beats the alternative.
Which is? Oops, that was three questions.
Sure beats the alternative of not having an afterlife at all.
Okay. What do you think about the afterlife?
I think it's an unknown entity as far as it's a better place. But what that place is, I'm not too sure. I don't know. I hope that there's a beautiful ocean out there, sunshine, 365 days a year. And it's just where you can be at peace.
Okay, and why do you believe that?
Because I need something to believe in.
Okay, that's it. Those are my two questions. I've burned up my list. Thank you very much. Thanks for talking to me. The two questions are these. Where do you think you're going when you die?
To heaven.
You think you're going to heaven? Second question is, why do you believe that?
Because we are not doing any bad things.
You're not doing people.
That's it.
Sir, what do you think?
The same thing.
Go in heaven. Why do you think that?
Because we're honest people. We are good people. We help some others people. So.
We are in the United States 23 years. We have been here and we always worked very hard. Now we are retired. Why not?
Thank you very much for talking to me. I appreciate it very much. Which leads me actually to two thoughts, perhaps. The first one is just a reminder that God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And as sweet as that old couple is, they're full of pride and self-righteousness. The second thought, the second question that I have is, I always wonder this, after 23 years of being in this country, how come you still have that accent? Two quickies. They are, where do you think you're going when you die?
I have no idea.
Okay. And my second question was going to be, why?
I don't know, man. It's reevaluating all that stuff.
Thank you. How old are you? That's my third question. I'm sorry. You're 40 years old. Have you spent much time thinking about it?
My mom died recently, so actually I have.
Been causing you to think about it? Yeah. All right. Did you ever grow up in a church or a synagogue or anything?
Yeah, actually, Catholic school from kindergarten through eighth grade.
Do you believe in a heaven or hell type of concept?
I don't know. It's kind of hard. You know, not sure about that.
How do you think somebody gets to heaven or how do you think somebody gets to hell?
Heaven, I guess, would be good deeds type of thing. Hell, you know, I don't know.
That type of stuff? Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever told a lie?
Yeah, sure.
Ever stolen anything?
Nothing major.
Yeah, but something, little. Because stealing is stealing. Right. Okay. Have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain?
What actually is that?
It's using God's name as a, you know, an exclamatory remark, as a curse word, GD, using the Lord's name in vain.
Not often. Maybe when I was a kid.
Okay, but taking the Lord's name in vain. All right, what about coveting, desiring something that doesn't belong to you?
Oh, sure. But I think it's more the pursuit of something like that that would be a problem.
Okay, and what about looking at a woman with lust, having a sexual thought about her?
Just like Jimmy Carter.
Just like Jimmy Carter. All right, Jesus said that if you do that, you've committed adultery in your heart. You don't have to do the act. You just think about it, and that's enough. Same thing with hatred. If you call somebody an idiot or a moron, Jesus said you've committed murder in your heart. All right, so the Bible teaches it's appointed unto man once to die. We die one time, and then we get judged. If God judges you based on his laws, the Ten Commandments, which is what I just kind of did to you, do you think you'll be innocent or guilty before God?
Comparatively innocent.
Okay.
But, of course, not free of guilt.
Not free of guilt. So, guilty.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're guilty of breaking God's laws, should you go to heaven or hell?
It's based on how forgiving that God would be.
Okay, but what about you? Do you think he should send you to heaven or hell?
Not hell. I don't think I've done too much to deserve that.
Okay, so the lustful thoughts, the lying, taking his name in vain, maybe dishonoring your parents, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, he's not going to take that into account and think that that's such a bad thing?
Maybe into account, but, you know, I don't think deserving of hell.
Let's try this one on you. Let's say that we put a computer chip behind your ear. We recorded every thought inside of your brain for a month. And we brought all your friends, all your family together. We put that computer chip into a little computer, and we put all your thoughts up on a big screen. Yikes! How would you feel about being in that room with everybody seeing your private thoughts and what's going on in your heart?
I kind of like my privacy, so I wouldn't be comfortable with that.
You know, see, God says that he sees every secret thought, every secret desire, lust, lie, everything that we think about, he keeps a tab on and he keeps account of. And he says that any sin that he finds has to be punished. So if that's the case, you're standing before God and he sees it all. It's all exposed before God. Wouldn't it be reasonable that he sends you to a place called hell for breaking his laws?
I think I'd fall into the slap on the wrist category as far as, you know, that concerned.
Okay, would that work in a court of law if you broke the laws over and over and over again for 40 years? They just kind of slap you on the wrist and let you go?
Misdemeanors, I guess I'd fall into that category, I think. You know, falter a little along the way, but I don't think that's the type of person you're looking to send to hell.
Hang in there with me, all right? Because there's a good part of this story, all right? Here's what God says, that all of our good stuff that we do, he sees it like a filthy rag, and what he really meant is he sees it as a, you know what a woman uses every month, that type of rag. He sees our good stuff as filthy rags because it's all tainted with sin. So even the good stuff he sees like that. Imagine the bad stuff that we do, how God views sin or breaking his laws. It's really offensive to him and it's really horrible. And if that's the case, and if we're being really honest with ourselves, we got a whole big bunch of that stuff that offends God. And again, I think if we're being really honest, he deserves to punish us for that. And it's maybe not such misdemeanor business. It's really gross violation of his law. Here's my next question. You're gonna counter that, weren't you?
Well, I just can't see any God that would create a fallible creature holding them to such a standard of perfection. That doesn't logically make sense to me.
Yeah, it's a pretty tough one to fathom. But the Bible teaches that in order to get into heaven, you have to be perfect because God is perfect and he's holy.
No one's going.
You just quoted a Bible verse. You're exactly right. No one's going. The Bible says that everybody sins and falls short of God's standard. So the question is, have you fallen short of God's standard?
If his standard's perfection, of course.
My next question is, do you have any idea what God has done so that you don't get found guilty and sent to hell on your day of judgment? Do you know what he's done for you?
No.
When you grew up maybe going to school, you remember hearing about Jesus Christ, right? You hear about Jesus Christ. God himself came to this earth 2,000 years ago because the Bible says there can be no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. So Jesus Christ shed his blood on a cross, died to pay the fine that you should be paying, so that when you stand before God on Judgment Day, instead of being found guilty, Jesus Christ paid your fine so that you can be scot-free and enter into heaven. Does that sound vaguely familiar to you?
Oh, yeah, of course. I thought you might add something else.
No, that's it. But the question is, if God did that for you, how do you access that forgiveness? How do you get forgiven by God? Do you know what you need to do?
Ask for it.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. It kind of falls under the umbrella of repenting. You repent. You ask for forgiveness. You recognize you really have sinned against him. You ask him for forgiveness, which he died to give to you. And then you put your trust in him. You know, instead of trusting in yourself or trusting in anything else, you put your trust in him just like you'd put your trust in a parachute. If you're flying in a plane and the plane was going to crash and you had a parachute, you wouldn't just believe the parachute could save you. You'd put it on, right? Same thing is true with Jesus Christ. You put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you repent of your sins, and God says, if you do that, I'll give you a new heart with new desires. You'll be born again, and you'll enter my kingdom because you'll be found not guilty on your day of judgment. So that's what you need to do to get right with the Lord. You need to repent and trust. And then when you die, there'll be no doubt in your mind where you're going. There won't be any questions. He's prepared a paradise for us. If we'll but repent, humble ourselves before him, and put our trust in him, then you'll know exactly where you're going when you die. I think that's what the Bible teaches. So next question. It sounded like you said before that you were searching because your mom died, which is a huge bummer. She couldn't have been that old, could she?
Yeah, she was elderly. I was near the end of the kids, so...
But nonetheless, it's always sad, and it's smart to think about death. Have you done that? Have you gotten right with the Lord by repenting and putting your trust in Jesus Christ?
I wouldn't say 100%, no.
I would encourage you to do that. Just think about it. Think about those Ten Commandments, how you've broken God's law. And if you feel like you want to get right with the Lord, just pour out your heart to God. Tell him what you've done wrong. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. He'll move you from darkness to light and from death to life, and you'll inherit eternal life. Does that make sense to you?
Sure.
Cool. You got a Bible?
Yes, I do, actually.
Yeah. Check it out. Read the Gospel of John. Read the Gospel of Luke. It talks about all of this stuff, what you need to do to be born again. That's what Jesus said. You got to be born again, and you'll inherit eternal life. What he meant is you need to be spiritually reborn. Just like you were born the first time from your mom, now you need to be spiritually reborn. Kind of die to yourself, and he'll give you a new life, new heart with new desires. All right? Been real kind to talk to me. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
I'm glad I ran into you, sir. Take care. See you.
And this is Wretched Radio.
Alicia's a full-time nurse. On the weekend, she was running a pregnancy clinic in the highest abortion neighborhood in the United States, Queens, New York. More babies killed than there are born in this place. And she was raising the money on her own. And it's only open one day a week.
We could change that. There could be a pro-life center open 7 days a week, providing free ultrasounds for women by supporting preborn.org/wretched.
Preborn is very intentional and deliberate in providing free, loving, gospel-centered alternatives and ultrasounds to these young women in New York City. We're on it, man. It's not easy, and it's probably going to get a lot harder, I think.
Please join preborn.org/wretched in their effort to save babies and to save mommies through the gospel and stop this cycle. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org/wretched? preborn.org/wretched.
Thank you for being here. Glad you would join us today and listen to Wretched Radio. Do you have your copies of our newest gospel booklet, Are You a Rotten Fish? It's a booklet about two types of professing Christians. A booklet on true and false conversions. A booklet that compares and contrasts the true gospel with false gospels. In Scripture, Jesus was relentless about true and false conversions. He told parables about wheat and tares, wise and foolish virgins, good fish and rotten fish. And if you study church backslider rates, it's clear his concerns were entirely warranted. Are You a Rotten Fish is perfect for someone who's not absolutely certain they are a good fish. It's perfect for someone who once professed to be a good fish, but now, not so much. And it will help you to understand why rotten fish aren't good fish. To get your copies of Are You a Rotten Fish, hop onto your favorite computing device and go to wretched.org/fish. Wretched.org/fish. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Don't take my word for why you should support the Masters Academy International. Take John MacArthur's.
We go into countries all over the world to train pastors, to train them in godliness, to train them in expositing the scripture, in teaching sound theology. Some of our training centers are 30 years in, and they're now turned over completely to the indigenous leadership of those countries, and we can pull out and go to another country. They're in Eastern Europe, Western Europe, Latin America, Asia. Strong pastors make strong churches. Strong churches make strong Christians, and that makes a high impact of Christianity in the world.
That is why I would like to invite you to consider supporting the Master's Academy International. Little mini seminaries, Todd, that was redundant. All over the world, please strengthen the church by supporting the Master's Academy International. You can do that at wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor.
Books of the Bible. Ephesians was written by Paul to the churches around Ephesus. It is about who Christians are and how they live. When we are in Christ, we are made alive, reconciled to God, and united with other believers in the church. If you are struggling in your walk with Christ, perhaps it is time to revisit what Christ has done for you and who you are in Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Sir, my first question is, where do you think you're going when you die?
Probably a better place than here, hopefully.
Hopefully? And why do you believe that?
I have faith, and so hopefully, but when my time comes, I'll be judged and be able to move on to a better place.
Well, I told you it was only two questions, but boy, I got about 10 more I'd love to ask you. Can I? Is that a, can I keep going? Okay, so you think when you die you're going to be judged? You're going to be judged by whom?
Sometimes I refer to him the big guy. He's judged by my maker or who I believe in my faith.
Okay, so you're going to be judged, and how? What standard is he going to use to judge you?
I believe there's different levels. There's, you know, not everyone's perfect, and I believe that there's a certain level that I'll probably make, and it'll be passable.
Okay.
So, you know, it's. I believe there's some good people, and there's people who will have to probably have to prove themselves again. You know, and each level is. You know, where you done in, on your time on the earth.
And my question is, where do you get that information? How do you know that?
Through my upbringing, I guess, through my faith, through going through church and religion, and basically I'm listening to other people, other religions and other faiths, and I'm not really one denomination or one faith, but I believe that there's some kind of... existence or some kind of superior being or someone that's out there watching over us. God, if you want to talk to it, it's God maybe, or the form of God or someone, you know.
So you kind of, it sounds to me like maybe you grabbed a little something from church, some other people have told you, you kind of put it all together.
Yeah, kind of a little bit of everything. You know, I've watched this world go through religious things and religious beliefs and religious wars and one group saying this and that. And I'm just saying, you know, I think that when it all comes down to the end of it, I'm going to be judged. Hopefully, I'll pass on to that next life. You know, even the Native American or the Hindu or the Buddhist or each different aspects have a different. So I believe that there's something to all that. And hopefully, when judgment time comes, I'll, you know, be able to pass that test.
Okay, I'm really curious. I'm a Christian. Okay, I'm one of those born-again type of guys. Okay. What do you think my type of belief is? What do you think of those born-again Christians, or what do you think it means to be a born-again Christian?
Wow. I think, well, you know, I think sometimes that I might be even born again, but, you know, when you re-establish that there, your faith in God and in Jesus and believing that you are... put on the earth for a purpose to, I've always believed it'd make a better place. I think that Christians do that too, or born again Christians again. You know, maybe they're, you know, they're saying, you know, I've gone this road, but that's not the road I want to go. I want to go into a different path, and they find that path, and they get revitalized, rebirth, reborn, and it's just, and it's, I've seen some people, you know, sometimes people come up, oh, they come at you so hard with the, you know, everything, and like, get away from me, you know, it's like, where's the garlic? But, you know, it's...
Well, now I'm afraid to say anything to you.
No, don't. Everyone has their core beliefs and stuff like that, and I believe I've met John Bramlett, who was a born against Christian, big Denver Bronco boozer drinker guy, and he was a hard man. But when he found his faith, he fought and believed in it. And you know, he was a man that came up to me and told me one day, you know, if you ever put your energy towards, you know, Jesus and everything in religion, you know, and that's always sunk with me. That's 20 years ago, you know, and I don't consider myself a born again Christian, but I remember his words, and I don't, you know, say, oh, you're crazy. Those people again, you know, I just take it in and I say, okay, maybe they know something, or maybe they feel something that will be of substance for their being, you know, on the planet.
Okay, let me share with you what Jesus said. Jesus said that unless a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So that's kind of a scary statement, isn't it? I mean, we should probably figure out what it means to be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. Okay, you said you're going to be judged. Yeah. I think you're right. I think the Bible says that God is the just judge of all the world, and he's going to judge all people according to what they have done. And he's going to give life and immortality to those who persist in doing what is good. But he's going to pour out his anger and his wrath on everybody who refuses to repent, who practices evil deeds. There'll be trouble and calamity on that day. So if that's true, you're going to be judged by God. I think that the standard for getting into heaven or going to hell would be his Ten Commandments, which is the standard of perfection. So do you think you've kept the Ten Commandments?
Well, let's see.
You know the Ten Commandments.
Yes, I do. And I'm going through them right now. And I'm like going, okay, mark that one off. Let's do this one. Boy, I don't like that. I did that. And I have to look at that. And I have to say, boy, that's you know, a standard, I think. But, you know, I have to also believe there's forgiveness, too.
Hold on to that thought for a second. Before we get into that whole forgiveness idea, do you think you'll be innocent or guilty before God of keeping his commandments?
Well, there's no 50-50 either on that one, is there? Well, I would have to say I'm guilty.
Okay,
you know,
so...
In some aspects, in some of them, you know... of using his name in vain. You know, there's times when I ask forgiveness for that, you know.
All right, hold on to the forgiveness thought for a second.
That,
Jesus said that if you just call somebody an idiot or a moron, you've committed murder in your heart, because he sees the intention of the heart. Yeah, that's a Lulu, isn't it? It kind of changes the whole picture.
Boy, that really looks like, good gosh, I failed there. I major league fail.
Okay, get ready for this one. Have you ever looked at a woman and lusted after her?
Oh, tough, yeah.
Okay, hold on. Jesus said if you've done that, you've committed adultery in your heart, because he sees the thoughts. All right, so guilty before God. Do you think he should send you to heaven or hell for breaking all of his laws?
Well, I don't think I'll make it to hell, but I think I'll make it somewhere, like, I hope that there's a place that you can earn, you know, and I know this is the place that's supposed to be right now. This is the place you're supposed to be earning.
All right, I want to take you into an earthly court. You stand before a judge, they nab you, they pull you into the courtroom, and they say, we found you guilty of breaking the laws. 10 laws, you've broken 10 serious laws, you're guilty. What is the judge going to say? Well, you know, I'm working it out, I'm asking for forgiveness, judge. Is he going to let you go, or is he going to sentence you to pay for your crime?
What, is there a probate court there or anything?
That's 10 serious laws you've broken.
I know.
All right, so let's say that it's hell. God should send you to hell. All right, he should send you to hell for breaking his laws. Fair enough?
Yeah.
All right, now, here's the big question. All right, you're wearing a cross on your neck right now, right? Okay, so what do you know about what God has done so that you don't have to go to hell?
Set these rules for me to follow.
All right, what about that cross business? What do you know about the cross?
Well, his son sacrificed his life on that cross.
Bingo. All right, very simple. The Bible says there's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. All right, you've broken God's laws. Jesus Christ shed his blood and paid your fine. So when you go to court with God and he says, boy, you've broken all the laws here that I've established for you, but you're not guilty because he paid the fine for you. My son paid the fine for you. All right? You broke the law. Jesus paid the fine. But here's the important question. How do you get that forgiveness? If God offers you forgiveness, if he offers you eternal life, forgiveness of sins, how do you get that forgiveness?
Trying to follow the footsteps of Jesus. Maybe, you know, maybe... that would be the keys if you follow what his son has done.
Well, I think that's a part of it. It falls underneath an umbrella, a biblical word called repentance. You repent.
Right.
You recognize, whoa, I have really blown it and really angered and offended God, and he deserves to strike me dead for all the sinful things I've done. But when you recognize that his son died so that he doesn't have to send you to hell, you repent. You apologize for what you've done wrong. You say you're sorry, and then you turn the other direction. You forsake the way you were living and start living for him. You forsake your sins, and then you put your trust in Jesus Christ. If you were flying in a plane, and the pilot came on and said, ladies and gentlemen, we're cruising along at 35,000 feet, but I've got some bad news. The tail just fell off of the airplane. We're going to be crashing in about 3 minutes. However, I've got some good news. There's a parachute underneath your plane. What would you, or underneath your seat, what would you do with that parachute?
Just one for everyone?
Here's a parachute for everybody.
Well, probably put that parachute on and use it.
You better believe you'd put it on. You wouldn't just sit there and go, you know what, I believe that parachute would save me, but you don't put it on. You wouldn't just sit there and sing praises to the parachute. You'd put it on. The Bible says you need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Put him on. Like your whole life depended on it, because it does. So to get born again, to die to yourself and to start living for God, you repent and you put your trust in Jesus Christ. And then he says he'll give you a new heart with new desires, and he'll move you from death to life, and you'll be found not guilty on the day of judgment. And I think that's what it means to be born again. Okay. Die to yourself. Let him give you a new life.
I was hitting on that. I mean, I that's some good...
It makes sense, doesn't it?
It makes sense. It totally makes sense. It makes you, refocus what your ideas are and what you want to do.
So the only thing that I would suggest to you is, if you haven't been born again, I know that's one of those flaky Christian terms, but Jesus used it. If you haven't been born again, you know, died to yourself spiritually and started living for him, repent before God. He died to forgive you. He'd love to forgive you. I mean, he didn't go through all of that to have you go to hell. He really wants you to go to heaven. Repent. Think of his amazing kindness. Pour out your heart to God, and then put your trust in Jesus Christ. That's it. Best offer you've had all day, isn't it?
So far, yeah, it really is. Yeah, it's true, very true.
You've been very kind. I'm so glad. Now that was more than two questions, but you've been real nice to talk to me. All right, take care. All right, until tomorrow, go serve your King.